Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers, text number 49. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Neither the three modes of material nature, sattva-guna, raja-guna, and tamaguna, nor the predominating deities controlling these three modes, nor the five gross elements, nor the mind, nor the demigods, nor the human beings can understand your lordship, for they are all subjected to birth and annihilation. Considering this, the spiritually advanced have taken to devotional service. Such wise men hardly bother with Vedic study. Instead, they engage themselves in practical devotional service. Purport. As stated in several places, bhaktimam abhijananti, only by devotional service can one understand, can the Supreme Lord be understood. The intelligent person, the devotee, does not bother much about the practices mentioned in text 46. Mauna vrata shuta tapo dhyayana swadharma. After understanding the Supreme Lord through devotional service, such devotees are no longer interested in studies of the Vedas. Indeed, this is confirmed in the Vedas also. The Vedas say, Kim artha vayam adyesh gimane, kim artha vayam vyakshamane mahe. What is the use of studying so many Vedic literatures? What is the use of explaining them in different ways? Vayam vyakshamahe. No one needs to study any more Vedic literatures, nor does anyone need to describe them by philosophical speculation. The Bhagavad Gita also says, Yadate moha kalilam budhira vyati tarishati tatagantasi nirvedam shrotavyasya shrutasya cha. When one understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead by executing devotional service, one ceases the practice of studying the Vedic literature. Elsewhere it is said, Aradito yadi haris tapasa tata kim. If one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead and engage in His service, there is no more need of severe austerities, penances, and so on. However, after performing severe austerities and penances, one does not understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such practices are useless. Naite guna naganino mahat adayo ye sarve manak prabritaya sahadeva martya adyantavanta urugaya vidantihi tvam evam vimrisha sudiyo viramanti shabdat. Neither the three modes of material nature, sattva-gun, raja-gun, and tamagun, nor the predominating deities controlling these three modes, nor the five gross elements, nor the mind, nor the demigods, nor the human beings can understand your lordship. For they are all subjected to birth and annihilation. Considering this, the spiritual advanced have taken to devotional service. Such wise men hardly bother with Vedic study. Instead, they engage themselves in practical devotional service. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaye. Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane, Namaste Saraswatam Deve, Kauravani Pacharane, Nirvisesa Shunivadi, Paskatya De Sitarane. Again, practical devotional service is glorified. It is said in the Brahma Samhita, Vedeshu Durlavam Adurlavam Atma Bhakto, that the Supreme Lord, He can be understood very easily by the mercy of a devotee, but He cannot be understood by studying the Vedic literature. And then it says, Pantastu koti
Shatava Sampragamyo Vayuratapi Manasomuni Pungavanam Sopyasti Yat Prapada Simnya Vichentyatadve Govindam Adi Purushang Tamahang Vajami. That even the jnanis, after studying the Vedic literature for many lifetimes, and the yogis, after drilling the respiration by the practice of pranayama, they do not even approach the tip of the toe of the lotus feet of foot of Krishna. But by devotional service, Krishna is very easily obtained. So devotional service, bhakti, is based upon surrender with the idea of trying to please Krishna. So of course, at first we have to believe in Krishna, and we have to practice in such a way as that we practically become aware of Krishna, conscious of Krishna. That is called Krishna consciousness. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitamati kriyatam yadi kutopi labhyate tatra loyam mulyam ekalam janmakoti sukritarna labhyate. Krishna consciousness means to be absorbed in the mellows of being conscious of Krishna. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitamati Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitamatira miti. So Krishna bhakti, Krishna consciousness, rasa bhavitamati means to actually become conscious of Krishna. And how to become conscious of Krishna? Tatra kriyatam yadi kutopi labhyate. Somehow or another, one has to learn the process of becoming aware of Krishna. So there may be different processes of how to become Krishna conscious, but somehow or another, that should be one's objective. For instance, in modern society, money is glorified, and the things that money can buy. If one becomes interested in getting the newest computer, and getting the newest video game, getting the newest stereo, then one becomes mad after getting that prize object. And of course, it's all based upon money. Therefore, somehow or another, people get money. Because that's what they want. They want the object that they're hankering for. So somehow or another, begging, borrowing, or stealing, they'll get money because they're mad after that object, whatever that object may be. Just like in the material world, no one has to be trained up to hanker for sex life. One has to be trained up how not to hanker for sex life. But sex life, this hankering for material enjoyment, is there in the heart of the conditioned soul, and it's spontaneous. Similarly, the natural position of the spirit soul is to hanker for Krishna, because Krishna is all attractive. But due to our diseased state, we don't hanker for Krishna, we hanker after material objects for sense enjoyment. Therefore, somehow or another, one has to learn how to hanker for Krishna. Tatra loyam mulyam ekalam. And one will become Krishna conscious directly in proportion to one's loyam, one's greed to become Krishna conscious. Now that is called sincerity. It is not that I feel myself sincere, and therefore I must be a sincere devotee. But our sincerity in Krishna consciousness is directly in proportion to our greed to become Krishna conscious. And that Krishna consciousness, janma koti sukritaya na labhyate, even after millions of births of executing so-called pious activities, one will not necessarily become conscious of Krishna. Therefore, it is said, tarko apratishta shutaya vibhina nasavarishir yasyani vina. Dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhaya mahajno yena katha sapanta.
Therefore, it is not by studying books, tarko, apratisha, or by arguing, discussing alone about what are the conclusions of Shastra, that we may have one opinion about some particular point, someone else may have another opinion, and we may argue over the different opinions. Tarko apratishta shruti avibina. And in the scriptures, there are many arguments about different parts of Krishna consciousness. And asavari shiryasyana bina. And even amongst the great sages and rishis, they even disagree. Therefore, one who's actually enlivened by Krishna consciousness, one who's actually devoted to Krishna, dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam, he actually knows what is this process of becoming Krishna conscious. Therefore, mahajno yena katasa panta, one should follow in the footsteps of those who are devotees of Krishna and enlivened by the process of devotional service. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ladita Vishaka Ki Jai, Lord Jagannath Lord Bhavadev Srimati Subhadra Devi Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gauranitai Ki Jai, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Therefore, mahajno yena katasa panta, one should follow in the footsteps of those who are devotees of Krishna and enlivened by the process of devotional service. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ladita Vishaka Ki Jai, Lord Jagannath Lord Bhavadev Srimati Subhadra Devi Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gauranitai Ki Jai, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. That if someone is enlivened by the process of Krishna consciousness, that means that he's understood what is Krishna consciousness. It is said in the Bhagavad Gita that Vedeshu Jagneshu Tapasyu Chaiva Janeshu Punya Pralam Prati Vyam Adyaiti Tatsaram Idam Viditva Yogi Param Stanam Upaiti Chadyam. That one who factually takes the process of Krishna consciousness, he achieves the results of all these other processes. Vedeshu, Jagneshu, Tapasu, Taiva, Daneshu, Yat Punya Pralam Prativyam, Atyaivi Yat. So, there are so many processes recommended in the Vedic literature, like studying the Vedic literature to begin with, trying to understand things as they actually are. Jagneshu, performing, not only studying the Vedic literature, but also performing some sacrifice. It is not that people are not sacrificing. Everyone is sacrificing. They're sacrificing their time, getting up early in the morning, riding in their cars to go to work. They're sacrificing their energy, their intelligence, trying to do their work. But what is their objective for their sacrifice? Somehow or another, get money. This is the only goal that they can think of. Get money and somehow or another enjoy sense gratification. Any other goal of sacrifice they think is simply phantasmagoria. Of course, our philosophy is kaivalya narakayate tri dasha akashapur pushpayate. Dordantendriya kala sarpa patali prokata damstrayate viri mahendradis viri visham suka sukayate viri mahendradis cha kitayate yak karuna kataksha vai bhava tam guram eva sturmaha. Our philosophy is exactly the opposite, is that these people, they're working hard to get money, but they're not actually satisfying their senses. Although they're attempting in so many ways to satisfy their senses, but what is the sense gratification? Building one building higher than someone else's building. Spending billions of dollars or billions of French, of Belgian francs just because my building is one story higher than yours. Therefore, I can climb to the top and look over your building and say, you know, get lost, kid. So much energy, so much effort, people working, investing so much money, so much endeavor, so much brains, so much money, so much hopes and aspirations, just so someone can get one building, one floor higher than someone else's and think that this is happiness. This is success in life. Or I have a 1994 car and you have a 1993 car. Therefore, I am superior to you. You should show some respect when I pass by. Tip your window or your hood or something. So this is called Akasha Pushpayate. Akasha Pur Pushpayate means Tridasha Akasha Pushpayate, the flower in the sky. There's no real substantial happiness. It is simply an imagination. But they're working so hard when the materialists to get money just to enjoy this type of happiness. But if they're explained in this way, they think that this is, they're afraid that unless we work hard to simply get this money to enjoy sense gratification, we'll become barbarians, we'll become primitives. Because they have no conception that there's such a thing as higher consciousness, purified consciousness, free from anxiety over these trivial things, such as making unlimited amounts of money and enjoying sense gratification. They have no conception that there's something else to put the mind on. Because they have no conception that there is a Supreme Person who has a spiritual form, a spiritual identity, spiritual activities, spiritual pastimes. Therefore, it is said, if one actually becomes Krishna conscious, Kaivaya Narakayate, Tridasha Akasha Pura Pushpayate, then all these ideas of enjoying this material world, they become like phantasmagoria. And even the idea of escaping from the material world, merging into Brahman, seems like just going to hell. And the senses, which are so disturbing to everyone in the material world, they become broken, just like a serpent who has broken teeth is not disturbing to anyone because his fangs have been extracted and therefore he has no more poison. And Vishwampurna Sukhayate, that the whole world appears to be full of happiness. Now in material consciousness, because we are identifying with this body and we identify everyone else with their body, the whole world seems to be full of suffering. And indeed, anyone who identifies himself with his body, he has to suffer. We may read that in Bosnia that people are suffering. We've heard that there is so much suffering going on there. Or in different parts of Georgia and in Russia, there's so much suffering. But right here in this room, who can say that they're not suffering? Is anyone here not suffering? Are you suffering? What's it? No, she's suffering? Honey, you are you suffering? Except for Aniora, everyone is suffering. She looks like she. So everyone is suffering. Somehow or another, anyone who identifies himself with this body, even to the smallest degree, means that there must be suffering. And therefore, there is no escape from that suffering unless one comes to a different state of consciousness. So it explains here that in the Vedic literature, or that Vishram Purna Sukhayate, the one who's actually in Krishna consciousness, he sees everyone as being happy, ultimately. He sees the whole world, at least, as being full of happiness,
full of an opportunity to serve Krishna. Not that everyone is happy, but at least everyone has the opportunity to become happy by engaging their activities in the service of Krishna. Vishwa Purna Sukhayate Vidhi Mahendradis Chakitayate. That even the great demigods like Lord Brahma, Lord Indra, Lord Shiva, they're seen as on the same level as the most insignificant living entity. Why is that? Because as explains here, Tyaktvasa Dharmam Charnam Bhujam Harer Bhajanatapya Tyaktvasa Dharmam Charnam Bhujam Harer Yavana Yatvasadharma Charnambu Jamharir Vajana Paktvo Patet Yato Yadi Tal Badradam Aburamushakim Tad Artha Abdo Bajitam Sudharma Taha. So it's Yatvasadharma Charnambu Jamharir. That if one gives up his occupational duty, but he becomes absorbed in the devotional service of Krishna, then what is his loss? On the other hand, if someone very nicely performs his prescribed duty, and even he becomes elevated to the position of Lord Brahma, and enjoys a kingdom even better than the celestial kingdom, then ultimately what is his gain? If he doesn't become Krishna conscious. Tyaktva Sadharmam Charna Kyatva Sudharmam Charnam Bhujam Harer Bhajana Patvo Yadi Kato. So one has to consider what is the actual object of this life. Is it to improve one's material situation, or to have a more peaceful mind, or is it to actually become conscious of Krishna in the spirit of devotion? To become conscious of Krishna means to be willing to execute his orders. Or on the other hand, if one executes his orders, then it is said that Krishna reveals himself. Therefore, it's recommended here that one should primarily find out what Krishna wants first and do that, and secondarily put forward our propositions, what we want. In other words, karma yoga, jnana yoga, jnana yoga, they're nice for the materialists because they raise one to a higher platform of consciousness. Karma yoga means I am working in the material world, but I am attached to the results of my work. Although I know the goal is Krishna, although I want to become Krishna conscious, but still, I want something also. I want some particular material situation here. I want some position. I want some security. I want so many things. Therefore, although I work to serve Krishna, but I want some reciprocation. As we've said before, as we've all heard that famous song, give me a house, give me some money, give me a wife, give me some money, give me a house by the sea. Jai Jagadisha Hari. And Jnana Yoga means, although theoretically I know the goal is to love Krishna, but I want to understand him in so many different ways. I want to look through all the philosophy, see if there's any flaw, and try to understand him. Jnana Yoga means, let me fix my mind on him, see if he's actually worth the effort of surrendering to. But Bhakti means, whoever he may be, because he's so nice, therefore I simply want to love him. Therefore, the goal is bhakti. Although on different stages we may become absorbed in karma or jnana or dhyana, but ultimately the real goal is simply to fix one's consciousness upon Krishna and to love him. Because he's lovable. In other words, the idea is not that artificially, if we fix our minds upon Krishna, we have to make a great mental effort to love him. But the idea is because Krishna is lovable, his activities are lovable, his associates are lovable. If I simply become conscious of him, if I simply follow his directions, then the result is that naturally my love for him will develop. If I give up my other aspirations of becoming happy somehow or another in this material world and becoming Krishna conscious secondarily. So here it says that if one actually comes to this conclusion that Krishna is the goal, then all these other things become not so important or unimportant. And if one doesn't fix his, one does not come to that conclusion that to become aware of Krishna and to love him is the most important thing, then it is said, sattvam sutasya sarvasya shada bhavati bharata, that according to one's particular faith, or according to one's situation and the modes of material nature, one evolves a particular type of faith. In other words, everyone in the material world believes in something. Everyone believes that there's some goal of their life, even if ultimately, due to frustration, one thinks the goal of my life is to commit suicide, still there's a goal. Everyone has some objective in whatever they're doing. Sattvam rupa sarvasya shraddha bhavati bharata. And according to that particular, and that goal is determined by the modes of nature in which I'm situated. According to the three modes of material nature, I have a certain type of consciousness or awareness. And according to that consciousness awareness, then I have a certain goal in life. I have a certain faith where I put my heart into. And of course, we have to understand that the modes of nature under which I'm situated are due to my past activities. It is not something by mere accident that I have a certain consciousness, I have a certain goals in life. But one has to examine those, that consciousness, those goal in life, one's habits, according to the standard, whether that's going to bring me to Krishna, or whether I'm looking forward to some other achievement in this life. Most of us are addicted to thinking, if I get a nice house, if I get a nice car, if I get a nice material situation, then I'll be happy. But who in this material world has ever become happy by these things? Prabhupada used to point out that even the richest countries, such as Belgium, are the people happy here in the Western world, simply by having a house. We can go door to door here in the neighborhood and ask everyone, my dear sir, are you fully happy and satisfied and ecstatic? Do you wake in the morning and start dancing? How wonderful your life is. That what is now after achieving so much, having a nice house and a car and everything taken care of, what is the goal of your life? Well, my goal in life, my life is to watch my favorite sports program and pray that my team wins. And if they win, then I feel good, and if they lose, I feel very bad. So if we examine those who've achieved what we're hankering for, if they're not happy, then what will we become if we achieve the same thing? On the other hand, for instance, Srila Prabhupada, he was attractive because he was actually blissful. One time Prabhupada was giving a lecture at the University of Buffalo, and one boy asked Srila Prabhupada in a very sarcastic way, challenging way, Swamiji, are you actually happy? And Prabhupada very gravely said that if I told you, would you believe me? And even more challenging, sarcastically, the same boy said, Swamiji, come on, tell us, are you actually happy? And Prabhupada even more gravely said, if I told you, will you believe me? And again the boy challenged, Swamiji, come on, tell us if you're actually happy. So Prabhupada smiled very blissfully and said, yes, I am very happy. And then the boy got a big frown on his face and sat down, and everyone shouted, Jai Prabhupada! because Prabhupada was actually happy. Therefore, people became attracted, because that is what everyone is trying to become, is happy. But it is said that by working hard for this body, one cannot be ultimately happy, because the body is itself is full of suffering. By working for the mind, trying to make some mental adjustment about how thinking positively, that won't make one happy either. And by trying to understand things perfectly, that I'm not this body, may free one from all kinds of problems in the material world, but it leaves one a little devoid of any real positive goal in the spiritual world. In other words, if I simply understand that I'm a spiritual being and I don't know what my spiritual identity is or what my spiritual activities are, then it's not a very encouraging position. Only by understanding that I am Krishna's servant, by realizing my relationship with Krishna as his loving servant, can I have a positive goal that frees me from all problems of material life and at the same time gives me encouraging activities in the spiritual world, in spiritual consciousness. So that is called devotional service. And if we look at the Madhurya Kandambini, we'll find that it analyzes how devotional service is superior to karma, jnana, and yoga. How karma, jnana, and yoga, their life is based upon bhakti. For instance, without enthusiasm, without confidence, without patience, which ultimately come from bhakti, one cannot be successful even in one's activities of the material world or mental speculation, philosophical speculation. All these things cannot be successful without some tinge of bhakti or devotion. And ultimately, bhakti gives life to these things. It's superior, and it's not at all impeded by, it's not dependent upon karma, jnana, and yoga. In other words, even without executing the activities of karma or jnana and yoga, one can still be successful in the activities of bhakti. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes.
There are some requirements for the body. Sometimes we notice when you get married,
therefore, there is Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. One has to make one's goal in life to become Krishna conscious. Therefore, it's simple living and high thinking. One has to accept the minimum that's necessary to maintain the body and soul together and become Krishna conscious at the same time. So it is said that devotional service is anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karma dyadavritam anukulena krishna anu shilanam bhakti uttama. So, devotional service is not covered by one's activities. If my activities start covering my devotional service, that is, by striving for a nice, comfortable house, nice car, etc. By doing that, I forget Krishna. And the practical manifestation of that is I have no time to chant my rounds. I cannot come to class anymore. I don't want to associate with the devotees. So my activities produce these effects, then that is very inauspicious. On the other hand, to some extent, one has to maintain the body properly, otherwise that will also impede devotional service. So it is said, yukta hara viharasya, yukta chaita sukarmasya. Not too much or not too little, just the right amount. So for different people, that's different. But the important thing is, especially for householders, they should not put themselves in activity that they in a situation where no longer they can associate with the devotees, no longer can they hear in the association of devotees the glories of Krishna. As soon as the hearing process stops, As soon as one's activities are not dedicated to the hearing process, then the result is, Prabhupada said, one gets the karmic disease. One begins to cultivate the anarthas for sense enjoyment. Is that clear? Anything else? Yes. Well, somehow or another, if one doesn't understand that there's a God, then he'll be engaged in so many types of activities. Well, different people are attracted to different things in the material world. Nowadays, of course, most people are attracted simply by vikarmic activities, sinful activities, making money anyhow, any way possible, by any, probably say, damn method, killing animals or intoxications, whatever they have to do, cheating, stealing, making money somehow or another, and then using that money to enjoy all kinds of sinful activities. So for the majority of people, this is their occupation. And some people may be attracted to some kind of austerity, but most people are misguided. What is the actual Vedic process of tapasya? In other words, there is different austerities recommended. For instance, when a vanaprastha, he may live in the forest and meditate on Krishna and grow his hair out, grow his nails, not shave, not bathe. But the object is to meditate on Krishna, to perform austerities to help his meditation, become fixed in meditation, undisturbed by his material situation. If one is actually in Krishna consciousness, actually meditating on Krishna in full devotion, if he's actually in Krishna consciousness, in other words, he's actually in love with Krishna, is that who you're talking about, or someone who's striving to become Krishna conscious? Which one? There's a difference. We can say all of us are Krishna conscious, but that doesn't mean that we're fully Krishna conscious. In any case, whether we're fully Krishna conscious or partially Krishna conscious, we should act as a neophyte, execute the process of sadhana bhakti externally, but for one who is actually Krishna conscious, then within himself he always thinks of Krishna. So our tapasya brahmacharyena, tapasya brahmacharyena, samena cha, damena cha, that tyagena sattva sochabhyam, namena niyamena va. So our tapasya, our austerity, is this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra and coming to the programs, our sadhana bhakti. Rising early in the morning, taking bath, attending Mangal Arati, chanting Hare Krishna. This is all part of our tapasya, austerity. And if one doesn't execute such austerities, then it's not possible either to remain, to follow the regular principles, or to control one's mind and senses. Yes. Well, we should have a place to sleep, some warm clothing, like that, medical care. What's necessary to actually maintain the soul, the body and the soul together, that's minimum for everyone. The Prabhupada said, if you're an ant, you should eat like an ant. And if you're an elephant, you should eat like an elephant. But if you're an ant, and you think that your minimum maintenance is that of an elephant, then you may find yourself in problems. It's a cold climate. The climate is colder. Therefore, you know, one thin dhoti and a kirta probably won't be adequate in this type of climate. Here you have to have heating, you have to have adequate, you know, shelter. Probably need more food here than in India. India, fasting is probably, people eat a lot less there because the climate's different. As far as medical facilities, everything's much more expensive here. So because of the different, because India is changing, not even the climate's changing. Even this climate's changing. Everything's becoming more disturbed everywhere. But in general, still, it's more, the cost of living is much higher here. So that has to be, but people have more money here too. You go to the average shop and you say, sir, can you give, you know, a donation? Most people there don't carry around 300 rupees. That's $10 for a book. If you give someone a book there and ask for 300 rupees, they'll think you're crazy. Because they only make 30 rupees a day. It's 2 weeks' salary. But here, $10 is not that much. So the money's different, too. Anything else? Yes. If you're doing sadhana bhakti, not necessarily. If we're doing sadhana bhakti in pure Krishna consciousness, then there's no karma. Karma means that I'm doing my activity, but I'm expecting I'm going to get so many facilities in return coming from Krishna. And jnana means I'm doing my sadhana. I think he's God, but I'm not really quite sure. So we'll investigate, make sure. And bhakti means I love Krishna. Whoever of course I know he's God, but that's not the important thing. It's just that he's the nicest person. And whatever he wants to give me back, that's all right. Just as long as I can keep on performing my devotional service to him. So it's the difference in consciousness. One can perform sadhana in any type of consciousness, or in pure consciousness too. Yes. Yeah, of course. Everything comes from Krishna. Well, karma means to follow the Vedic literature, not the karma, sinful activity, follow the impulses arising from the senses. So the Vedas, they come from the breathing of Vishnu. So within them, the impetus of real karma and jnana is to follow Krishna's instructions, surrender to him, serve him. There may be some aspiration that Krishna is saying, if I do that, then I'll get so much in return. But still, the impetus, the inspiration is to serve Krishna, his instructions, his faith in Krishna and his instructions. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Prem Nande.